Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Sheridan is doing amazing work in the evangel. You need to go to SheridanVoice.com. SheridanVoice.com. He's doing dual series, one on Romans, one of the most important books written to us. A. Enoch said that this book convinced him that God was for him and not against him. Martin Luther, very important book to him. Martin Luther, that's when he sat on the crapper, sorry it's true, and realized, I can't do anything to save myself. He was reading the book of Romans in the bathroom. The poor man was constipated through his life. It's an historical fact. Don't shoot the messenger. And Dan Sheridan is doing a series on the book of Romans and on the topic, the critical topic of resurrection. And as he talks to you about resurrection, obviously he's going to be talking about death. Because without death, there is no resurrection. Hi everybody, this is Martin Zender and I am in the book of Hebrews. And we're continuing in Hebrews chapter 6. In chapter 6, we have six things, six rudiments that the Hebrews were to go on from. Not disrupt again. And I didn't get to the sixth one. The sixth one is this. Aeonian judgment. And we find that in verse 2. After the imposition of hands, the resurrection of the dead. Sorry, verse 3. And of judgment aeonian. There's a judgment coming upon this planet, the likes of which the world has never seen. As fantastic as what I'm about to say is going to sound to you, this is foundational teaching. This is something that is basic that you should understand. But I have a feeling that few of you understand it. Israelites understood it. There have been severe judgments in this world, beginning with the judgment of Adam and Eve. Next, I would say the judgment of Noah's day. 8 billion people. That was the population of the world when Noah was building the ark. I know this sounds fantastic. We looked it up here on the internet. I believe I shared this with you. I'm going to say it again for new listeners. There are presently, this is the first time in history, right now, first time in history that there have been as many people on the planet as there were in the days of Noah. I'm going to go back and look at these websites for you and bring up some specific information for you. I'm probably going to do this during the Revelation series. For the first time in history, we now have as many people on the planet as were on the planet in the days of Noah. People have done research into this. They've looked at the generations. They've looked at how easily people reproduced back in those early days, post-Adamic days. They reproduced like rabbits. And there were soon many people on the planet, 8 billion, and God saved 8. Aeonian judgment. Anybody who says that we who believe in the salvation of all don't believe in judgment, they're wrong. This is a common misconception. And yet it's foundational. It's something that should be so obvious we go on from. And yet we tell people we believe in the salvation of all and they say, well, what about judgment? And we say, I believe in every judgment in the Bible. Who's claiming that there were never 8 billion people killed? By the way, we are now in a window of grace. You think that because we have lived in this administration for our whole lives, that this has been the only administration? It hasn't. In 2 Peter, Peter talks about scoffers who go about saying everything continues the same as it was since our fathers were put to repose. But they're ignorant of this, that there was a heavens and earth of old, cohering out of water, through which the then world perished, and the ancient world also perished. There was the disruption of the world, there's a flood of Noah. My point is, there have been cataclysmic disasters that have visited this earth, and they're coming again. This should be foundational teaching, and yet we live in la-la land. We're spoiled. We think that since life has always been this way for us, it will always be this way. The evangel of Paul, this day of salvation, which is a day of salvation, not the only day of salvation, a day of salvation. This is a window of opportunity. Yes, I'm putting opportunity in air quotes because that's a relative opportunity. Absolutely, God chooses who he wants to believe in him. And the quote, opportunity, unquote, is when you hear the word of the evangel and you believe it. This window of grace is going to close. And there is going to be, as in the days of Noah, wholesale destruction and killing. Go to my website, martinzender.com. Look at the ZWTF. That's my newsletter. Archives, the last newsletter. Talks about how God kills. He does not murder. That is, murder is a crime. Murder is taking a life unlawfully. God doesn't murder, but he kills. Because there's a time to cleanse the earth, and the earth needed cleansed in the days of Noah. It's going to need cleansed again. And it's going to be cleansed again. God is once again going to kill billions of people, and it's going to happen in the Aeonian judgment. Because this Aeonian judgment coming up is going to usher in the 1,000-year kingdom. The 1,000-year kingdom is going to be religion and politics. Yeah, the two things you're not supposed to talk about at a cocktail party or anywhere. Religion and politics. We have our own religions. Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Christianity. We have our own politics. Socialism, communism, liberalism, what have you. But there's one religion, one true religion, one true political reality, and that is Christ's. Before he returns, he is going to have to clear the table. Clear the table is earth in this little analogy of mine. He's going to clear the earth of man's religion and politics. In order to do that, it's going to happen quickly. Things are going to happen quickly. Doesn't mean soon. It means fast once they start. Revelation 1:1. Don't worry, folks. We're going to get to that in the book of Revelation. People get lost in verse 1. The message that God gives to John to show him what must occur swiftly. King James says quickly, as if it was going to happen right after John received his revelation at Patmos. No. No, it was going to occur swiftly. In other words, once it started, it's going to be fast. This is not a gradual reformation of the earth. Israel's kingdom comes by much, much judgment, Aeonian judgment. This is the one thing the Hebrews are supposed to consider a foundation and move on from. And yet we, as a modern people, because we're used to this sanitized generation, can't imagine God killing people. He's done it before. He's going to do it again. We're in a window. This is a window of grace. It's going to close. And you really do need to warn your friends and your family of the impending indignation. Doom is at the door. I'm teaching this everywhere I go in the country. And Paul's evangel is the modern day ark. This is the means by which God is saving people from indignation. Paul himself calls Jesus Christ our rescuer from the coming indignation. You need to get my book and give it to your family and your friends. It's the most important thing you can do. What's more important to do? If your children or your wife or your husband was standing in the middle of a highway and cars are whizzing by, or ready to walk into a train. Your loved one's ready to walk into a train. What are you going to do? You reach out, you grab them by the seat of the pants, and you pull them back. This is more serious than an oncoming train. We are facing imminent times, the likes of which this earth has never seen. The day of indignation. It's well prophesied. And the reason it's not on the forefront of our thinking is, A, we're hanging our hammocks at the consummation. That is, we who believe in the salvation of all, we act like it's already here. Well, God's going to save everybody, so I'm just going to sit around, la-di-da. That is a really terrible mindset. It's a careless mindset, and it's never the mindset of any man or woman of God. I dare say Paul, our apostle, knew the grace of God. Nobody knew it better than him. He received it firsthand, and it was transmitted to him firsthand by Jesus Christ himself. And yet listen to what this same apostle writes in 2 Thessalonians. I can't. Some of you say, this again, Zender? I know I've told you this many times. You can't hear this enough. This is going to impel, compel, define your heralding, your life even. This should frame, this should, I don't know if that's the right word, this should inform your life. It should color how you live, should influence how you live. Because this is real, what I'm about to read to you. I call it the unknown passage of Paul. We're so stuck on grace, and we should be. I'm not saying we're not, and we shouldn't be, but we're so emphasizing it, we forget that even Paul says that this grace of ours is the means by which God is rescuing us from the coming indignation. And the grace, I'm not denying this, the grace is centered on the cross of Christ. Listen to this. He's comforting the Thessalonians concerning those who are persecuting them. And he says, God is going to repay. Listen, this is not usually how we people of grace talk, is it? God's going to repay people. God's going to get you. But he is. He's going to get not you, but those who are vexing you and the world at large who don't know God. But Martin, it's not their fault. I know that's not the issue. The issue is not whether it's their fault or not. It's that God is going to repay and judge. There is a day of judgment coming. There is a day of repayment. Paul says God is going to repay affliction to those afflicting you and to you who are being afflicted. He's going to give you ease with us at the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. This to me, verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, is the strongest verse for a pre-tribulation rapture. Hate that word. Snatching away is the proper term. This is the strongest verse I know of that we are going to be snatched away on our feet as we live to be with Christ before the worst parts of this indignation begin. Because those Thessalonians who are being afflicted, they're going to have ease with us at the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. At the same time, this is simultaneous. At the same time, God is dealing out vengeance. We will be having ease at the same time at the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven with his powerful messengers in flaming fire, dealing out vengeance to those who are not acquainted with God. Martin, it's not their fault. That's not the issue. They're not acquainted with God, period. We don't care if it's their fault or not. Of course it's not their fault. God's ultimately responsible for everything. But we're looking at the scene, at the time. We're looking at the relative perspective. We're looking at action on a stage through a knothole in the fence. We're not looking above the stage at who's pulling the strings. Obviously, God's pulling the strings. Nevertheless, we're talking about those who are not acquainted with God. Forget how they got there. They're not acquainted with God. They're not acquainted with God. They're not acquainted with God. Forget how they're not acquainted with God. That's not the issue here. They're not acquainted with God. And they're not obeying the evangel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obeying sounds like the law of Moses. No. The Greek, it's to hear and to heed. They're not hearing it. They're not heeding it. What's the evangel of our Lord Jesus Christ? It's the gospel Paul brought. And what's going to happen to these people? Well, they're going to incur the justice of aeonian extermination. Ties back to Hebrews. Aeonian judgment. Aeonian judgment for those not acquainted with God and not acquainted with the message we are heralding. They're going to incur the justice, and it is just, of aeonian extermination from the face of the Lord. Now, it would not be just if this aeonian extermination was translated, as it's translated in the common versions, eternal destruction. It's not eternal destruction. My God, get real. These people fall under the cross. They're sons and daughters of Adam, so they're sons and daughters of Christ because Christ is the second Adam. He undoes what Adam does. Read Romans chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But in the meantime, that's at the consummation. That's at the way down the road. We're years from there, millennia from there. I'm talking about what might be start happening tomorrow. Aeonian extermination from the face of the Lord. Not eternal damnation, aeonian extermination. They're going to be dead for at least one eon. And it's going to happen in flaming fire, literal fire, just like the fire that demolished Sodom and Gomorrah, same fire. And God is going to deal out vengeance. What? Our God, who's now conciliated to the world, is going to deal out vengeance? I didn't write this. Our apostle wrote this. Nobody talks about this verse. That's why I call it the unknown passage of Paul. Dealing out vengeance to those who are not acquainted with God and those who are not obeying the evangel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall incur the justice of aeonian extermination from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his strength, whenever he may be coming to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all who believe, seeing that our testimony to you was believed in that day, for which we are also praying. Basic teaching. These are the rudiments. What I just read to you is a rudiment. It's elementary, dear Watson. This is what God is going to do soon. I want you to order The First Idiot in Heaven, or read the book of Romans until then. Read the book of Ephesians. Read the book of Galatians. Tell your loved ones about the gospel of God's grace. Tell them about the death of Jesus Christ. Tell them that Jesus Christ had such faith that he died for your sake. He died for you. He let go of his life and he died. He was not alive in some other place. His spirit didn't go consciously to be with his Father. He did not exist. He trusted his Father with such trust that he could, while he's nailed to the cross, say, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And for 3 days he was not. And it scared him. And he did it for you, to take away your sin. You can't take away your sin. Your loved ones can't take away their sins. They can't decide to have their sins taken away. They can't decide that they're going to give God the benefit of the doubt and start believing in him. Only God can give someone faith. Faith is a gift of God. Romans 12:3. And that is the gospel. That is the lifeboat. That is the ark of today. That Jesus Christ died, literally died. Don't believe the Trinity. It's a false teaching to keep people from believing Jesus Christ died. He didn't just die. He died for your sins. He died for your misses. He died because of all the bad things you do and will do. You can't escape who you are. You can't be good enough to earn a celestial allotment at the right hand of God. Jesus Christ did this for you with an exercise of faith in the face of death, the likes of which had never been shown to God. He did it perfectly. He did it perfectly. And if you find yourself believing that today, you can thank God for it, because it's a gift. You didn't make that happen. There is not some well of faith within you that's able to answer the bell for another round of this wrestling match between your sin and death. You cannot win that wrestling match. Sin will lead you into death apart from the cross. But because of the cross, Jesus Christ does the will of his Father and leads us out of death. How do we know? Because he's the guarantor. He's the guarantee, having gone into the grave and come out. He's the guarantee that the rest of us, his brothers, his sisters, are going to come. I'm compelling you to believe this fact. I'm not challenging you. I'm not saying believe this or else. I'm saying this is the truth. God loves you and died for you, and he saved you 2,000 years ago on the cross at Calvary. My question to you is, what are you going to do about this amazing fact that he died for you? You know what really pleases him? To be believed. Just believe what he tells you. And you know what's going to happen then? Then you're going to come into a realization of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:6. And this fact of what Christ did for you 2,000 years ago is going to be a reality in your life. It's not going to be a theory. It's not going to be a hope. It's not going to be a dream. It's going to be a real present help to know that God accepts you no matter what. You couldn't do anything to get into it. You can't do anything to get out of it. You can't do anything to get out of it. It's 100% His work. And that's not hypocrisy. I'm not going to tell you that and then tell you how you have to earn this grace. You don't earn it. It's of God. It's His approach present. He is approaching you with a present. That's really, really, really different from the old days when people approached God with presents, trembling, hoping to be accepted by Him. That was before the cross. Subsequent to the cross, it's all Him, and now He's offering you a present. What humility on the part of God, approaching us with a present. But He does it. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Look at it for yourself. What's the present? The present is His own Son, Jesus Christ, who He gave up to death for your sake. Don't believe in Him. Believe Him. He doesn't lie. It's yours. The grace of God be with you all.